This afternoon, we're going to sort of continue on in the same vein of what we talked about on Wednesday night. And last Wednesday night, we discussed excuses that people make for not engaging in missions or personal evangelism. A couple years ago, I did a series on personal evangelism. And to just to remind you of a definition of what that is, evangelism, we would refer to as personal interaction of a Christian, a believer, with an unbeliever that is intentionally designed to bring that unbeliever to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, otherwise known as soul winning. It's the intentional personal interaction with a believer and an unbeliever designed to bring that person about to the place of having or coming to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So last Wednesday night, we talked about excuses that people make for not engaging in personal evangelism. And that's not uncommon with Job. People tune him out, shut you off. All right, back to the serious stuff. Other excuses. I don't know enough. I don't know what to say. These are all things that come to your mind that people think of, you know, reasons why they don't or are not a personal witness for the Lord. You know, you might think of, well, people don't really want to listen anyway, so what's the point? And we judge people. You know, we size them up and we look at them and say, well, they're not going to listen anyway, so. And we go about our life. Or I'm afraid of confronting people. I don't know what to say. I don't know enough. These are all reasons or excuses that people give. And really, much of that is based in what I would say, in my estimation, is the number one reason most Christians don't share their faith, and that's fear. Fear. Fear of what people think. Not fear of persecution. Not fear of losing your life for being a Christian, like in other parts of the world, but simple fear of what other people think. And perhaps you're like me. You have a battle with fear when it comes to the thought of being a witness for Christ. Speaking up to somebody that you know, even somebody that you don't know. This fear may be the main reason that people, Christians, saints of God, can go through their entire life and never experience the joy of leading another person to the Lord Jesus Christ. Or at least being instrumental in some impactful way in bringing someone to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. They can live their entire Christian life and never experience and know that joy because of fear. But I want to ask you a question, and I want you to ask yourself this question. All right, so we're talking about the same idea, the same vein, excuses that people make. But I want to look at the other side of the coin, if you will, here today, and talk about learning to overcome our fears. These are excuses that people give, or reasons for not, and they're based in fear. But I want us to consider some principles here this afternoon to help us to learn to overcome our fears. But I want you to ask this question to yourself, and I want you to think about this. When it comes to, you know yourself, I don't know what goes on in your head. You probably can think of right now an opportunity that has come to across your path where you could have been a witness for Jesus Christ. You could have been a personal witness. You could have said something, but you didn't. And you know that it was rooted and based in fear. But ask yourself the question, what are we really afraid of? All right, you thinking? Even put someone in your mind right now that you should witness to, and you know it. What am I really afraid of? Am I afraid of people not liking me? You know, we could come up with all kinds of other scenarios where we would say, I don't care if people don't like me. I'm going to do this anyway. Are we afraid of feeling a sense of rejection? Are we afraid not having the right words to answer a question and feeling foolish? What are we afraid of, really? I mean, it's not like we would be in fear of losing our life if I said this. It's not like I would be in fear of losing all of my personal possessions and properties if I was a witness for Christ. It's not like I would be in fear of my family experiencing some sort of persecution. What am I really afraid of? If we stop and think about what it is at the root of it, people not liking me, I'm ashamed, being made fun of, feeling rejected, feeling foolish, we start to realize that those are all very, very petty, petty reasons for not doing and being what Jesus has commanded us to do, especially when you consider it in light of what he has done for you. Are you with me here? If we're honest, we have to say that it's really petty. And what if the Lord were here? And what if he was standing face to face with us? What would we say to him? Listen, we do have fears. Yes, we're human. But we still have a higher calling. We have a calling from the Lord himself to preach the gospel. He is well aware of your fear. He is well aware of my fears. But does that exempt me from being obedient to the Lord? No, it does not. Honestly, most of the time, this is personal, most of the time I have a bout with fear every time it comes to witnessing to somebody. There's a moment or two. And I'm being honest with you. There are times when you can go into a witnessing opportunity fully confident. You know this person is seeking. They're open. And with full confidence, you go in to give them the gospel. But most of the time, that's not the way it is. Most of the time, it's interacting with someone that I don't really know. Most of the time, it's brand new. How do I present the gospel to them? How do I work this conversation so I can say something for the Lord? Or how do I take a stand in this context and separate myself and make myself, you know, look different from them, all for the cause of giving the gospel to Jesus Christ? Am I willing to suffer that shame? Every time, just about, there's a bout with fear. But there are certain principles that we have that can actually help us deal with these fears. The Bible says, fear hath torment. That kind of fear is of the devil, my friend. And the devil wants to keep you paralyzed with fear so that you'll not speak of Christ and you'll not give glory to the Lord. He wants to keep you paralyzed with fear. You know the kind of fear that paralyzes you. We need to learn to shake off those fears, which are mostly imagined, by the way, and move forward in obedience and in faith. There's a couple principles that can help us deal with this issue of fear. First of all, number one, we need to have compassion on people. This having compassion on the souls of men, in other words, learning to care more about the person who will perish in their sin than I do myself, can actually go a long way to helping me overcome my fears. When I observe somebody, when I observe a sin-sick soul, and my heart is moved with compassion on them because they don't know what they're doing. They don't know the danger they're in. Their life that they're living is you know, maybe it's a self-righteous life, and maybe they're very religious, and they think they have it all figured out, and they're going the right way, but I know different because of the Word of God. They're deceived and they're blind. I could easily say, well, you know, they're stuck in their religion. They're not going to listen. They think they've got it figured out because they're doing all of these things. They're not really going to want to hear. I might lose this relationship or this friendship if I speak up and say this. Are you here? Are you with me? All those things. And then eventually I decide, you know what? I'm just not going to say anything. I'm only thinking of myself in those moments. And I'm not looking at them as a soul that is bound for eternity, a blind soul, putting their faith in their religion. They think that they're right with God, all the things that they do. I'm not looking at their soul. The fact that they are going to spend eternity in the lake of fire. I'm going to enjoy the glories of the presence of God in heaven. And all I'm caring about is how I feel in the moment. I might be rejected. I might lose this relationship, etc. Wake up, please. Think about this. All right? What is, in a witnessing situation like that, what is your worst case scenario? Typically in the United States of America, all right? Are you thinking? What's your worst case scenario here? If you witness to someone, you might go away feeling rejected. They might go away from you, not interested. They might walk away from you thinking you're a fool for believing what you believe. And I get this sense of rejection out of it. That's typically your worst case scenario. But what is their worst case scenario? They spend eternity in the lake of fire. And then I stand before the Lord with blood on my hands. Because the Lord gave me an opportunity. But I was too concerned about how I feel. What I'm saying is we need to develop a sense of compassion for the souls of men so that we forget about ourselves and see them as spending an eternity in the lake of fire. We need to love their soul. Look with me in Jude 22. Jude 22. The Bible says, and of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. Verse 22 says, have compassion on people and make a difference. And then he says in verse 23, others save with fear. The word fear means with fright. You know what? It's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing to tell someone of the horrors of the lake of fire. It's not a bad thing to tell someone of the reality of the judgment of God on their soul for all eternity. It's not a bad thing for someone to be afraid of the judgment of God. Not a bad thing. Others save with fear, with fright, pulling them out of the fire. The word pulling means to seize, to seize. It's physical. It's violent to save their soul, to save their life. Listen, you know, I use the illustration of a building on fire this morning. You know what? We wouldn't stand by and just watch as someone is about to perish in the flames. If we had the opportunity, we would reach in and we would seize them and pull them out. That's the reality of the souls of men. Why don't I see that day to day? Why can I not look on the multitudes and be moved with compassion like Jesus was? I don't live with the reality of the horrors of the judgment of God. And I don't love their soul. But Jesus did. All I'm saying is that we need to develop a sense of compassion. Ask the Lord to give us His heart. There's a song that sometimes is sung. And the words of the song, I don't remember them all. But it says, "Help me see this world, dear Lord, as though I were looking through your eyes." There's another song called "People Need the Lord." You've heard it before, probably. Maybe we'll sing it for our missions conference. "Every day they pass me by. I can see it in their eye. Empty people, filled with care, headed who knows where. We know where they're headed. People need the Lord." But we care about ourselves too much. Look at 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 18. And we read this in the context of compassion. 1 John 4:18, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love." Listen, in the context of compassion on a soul, I love their soul. Perfect love casteth out fear. I love their soul enough to set aside my fears, to give them the answer for their soul, and trust in the Lord for His grace and His strength. We need to have compassion. It helps us to overcome our fears, to move past our fears. But then secondly, we need to let our fears become our strengths, actually. Let our fear become our strength. Let your fear actually work for you. Fight against fear by allowing those fears to drive you to the Lord, to the Savior Himself. "Lord, I know, you know that I have this fear, but Lord, I want to obey you. Lord, I want to give them the need of their soul. I want to share you with them, but you know the fears that I have. Lord, I need your grace. I need your help. Lord, give me your grace in this moment. Here's an opportunity that is ready made. What am I going to do?" Let our fears work for us to drive us in prayer to the Lord. "Lord, I'm fearful. I need your words. Please help me in this conversation. Help me write this letter to a loved one. Help me with this phone call." My fear can become my strength because it drives me to my knees. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Second Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9. The context here is, of course, the Apostle Paul dealing with his affliction, that he sought the Lord to remove from him. Verse 8 says, "He sought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me." But then verse 9, "And he said unto me," here's the Lord's words, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Here's Paul's response. "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." The Lord's strength. In times of Paul's weakness, even dealing with the affliction that he didn't really want, when he understood that God's strength is made perfect in his weakness, he said, "Look, I would rather glory in my afflictions so that I could have the power of Christ on me." Whose strength? It's the Lord's strength. Paul said, "When I'm weak, then am I strong." the strength that I have is now the dependence that I have upon the Lord. That's my strength, my dependence on the Lord. And I would say that's exactly a good place to be, because you know what? We need to welcome that fear and let it drive me to my knees or go to the Lord, because it's His strength that we need in the first place. Keep in mind, whenever you're fearful about sharing your faith or being a witness for Christ, keep in mind that you can have an eternal impact in someone's life. Taking the time to share the gospel, it plants the seeds in their heart. It leads them to the truth. It's really God's work anyway. All we have to do is plant the seed. I think that we just let our fears rule our life. We let our fears dominate, and it falls right into the devil's plan, the devil's trap, to keep us paralyzed in fear so that we can't bring glory to the Lord. And we just accept it. That's just who I am. That's just how I'll always be. But I don't think that's acceptable with the Lord. You know, there's some things that we can do practically to help us overcome some fears. I thought about doing this today, and I didn't, to not put pressure on you. But I thought about getting a handful of gospel tracts and starting over here at Amy and Jock and just walking through the crowd and giving you each one gospel tract. And say, here's your assignment for this week. Just give one. Just one gospel tract to somebody this week. And then later on in the week, ask you, have you given one gospel tract? Just one. I don't know how you'd respond to that. I really thought about doing it. But whether I do that or not, we ought to feel a sense of burden in our own heart and a sense of being compelled to just one soul, just one, make a difference. Lord, take this gospel tract, take my words, give me one opportunity to make a difference in someone's life for all eternity. Whether they get saved or not, whether it's in the moment or not, Lord, you know what's going on in someone's heart. But I want to do my part. I think, you know, we can, if we're on purpose about it, we can practice doing things that maybe aren't our normal operating procedure. That can help us overcome some fears. Like, for example, practice greeting strangers. It's hard to do for some people. Maybe you don't have an outgoing personality. But why not ask the Lord to help you overcome that for the sake of the lost? Doing something as simple as, I pass somebody in the grocery store. Hi, how are you? Hope you're having a good day. Not a hard thing to do. Who knows? But we need to take a step. How? We need to just make an effort to be friendly, to greet someone, even a complete stranger at the store, at the gas station, at your school, at work, even at the library. Force yourself just to say hi to someone. It's not a difficult thing to do. You know what? You'd probably bring a smile to someone's face. You might even feel good about yourself that you did something hard. You can leave a gospel tract somewhere. Maybe you're not the type who is just going to hand one out. But maybe you could leave one somewhere. Maybe you can't have a conversation with somebody. But I wonder how many strangers we have conversations with just about every day. And we don't even think twice about it. Come on. Maybe we think twice, but not three times. you know? If you can't have a conversation with somebody, why don't you leave one somewhere? You know, as you're asking the Lord to give you His grace, developing a heart for souls, you can do small things. Maybe you can leave a gospel tract in a shopping cart. Maybe you could leave one on the counter in a restroom. At the gas station. At the pump. You can do, if you make an effort, you can think of things to do that don't require very much, but they could have an impact in eternity. What's the problem? Why don't we? Well, it could be a number of reasons, but I think the number one is just fear of simple, petty things. There are all kinds of places and all kinds of things that we can do to practice and to develop. But you know what? You gotta make an effort. You gotta make an effort. Are you at least making an effort? The Lord knows. I think that the first place, though, that we need to go is to our knees in front of the Lord and ask the Lord to help us see people like He does. People need the Lord. But how shall they hear without a preacher? Child of God, church member, saint of God, we have a great responsibility, but we also have a great privilege. Are you being obedient to the Lord? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, pray that You'd encourage us in the great work that You've called us to do. And these thoughts are not meant to make people feel guilty. They're not meant to strong arm. They're simply meant to remind us of what You have given us to do and to remind us of the source of our strength, that it's not in ourselves. We can be more than conquerors over those fears and over those things that would hinder us through Christ. And Lord, I pray that You'd put it in our heart to have a burden for people, to see souls as You see them, to care more about their soul than I do my feelings, to be willing to suffer shame if that's what it takes for the Lord's name. Father, I pray that You would strengthen Plaque Road Baptist Church as we endeavor to be obedient to the commission of Christ to go into all the world and preach the gospel. May we take it personal as we're reaching out into this world using missions dollars to support those who are going to preach, as we're attempting to reach into Alaska, the native population, with the gospel. May we not forget that there's a mission field right around us, in where we work and in our families, that these are people that need the Lord. And Lord, that we'd run to You. Lord, that we would kneel before You. Lord, that we'd pray, seek Your face, not only to see souls as lost, but also for power and boldness. Like Paul asked the churches to pray for him, that he would speak and open his mouth with boldness as he ought to speak. Lord, put that in our heart. And may we be committed today as saints of God, as we leave this place today, tomorrow, the next day, to be doers of the word. Lord, remind us that we not forget. Lord, that we could be faithful to You, that You'd be pleased with us, and we would be able to stand with our heads high when we stand face to face. Thank You, Lord, for Your grace. Thank You for Your enabling, Your divine ability that You give to people who are surrendered In Jesus' name, amen.